Have you ever felt the weight of being labeled all over the place because of your many passions? If so, let me ask you this. Are you ready to break free from the shackles of societal norms and boldly showcase your ability to innovate and turn vision into reality? Can you imagine aligning your passions, purpose, and profession without compromise? Well, you're not alone, and you're in the right place. I get it because I am you. I'm Jatia Jones of Jatia Jones Consulting, and I've walked the path of a multi-passionate. Welcome to the Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. Join me for inspiring conversations with multi-passionate CEOs who've turned their diverse passions into a force for change. We dive deep into our collective experiences, sharing invaluable lessons, and providing you with a strategic roadmap to manifest the life and business of your wildest dreams. This isn't just a podcast, it's a movement. And I'm not just your podcast host. I'm your partner in this dynamic journey. You, me, and the incredible community of multi-passionates. Get ready to unlock the confidence, courage, and clarity to help you become the world-changing multi-passionate CEO you were destined to be. Hi guys, in this episode, I'm actually not doing the interviewing. I'm being interviewed, and I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation and thought, you know what? My audience cannot miss this information. I was interviewed by Keith Sconyers on Purpose the Podcast, and he's another one of us. He's a multi-passionate. He is a purpose-driven entrepreneur, and I really do respect and love his perspective on business, life, and purpose. And so instead of me bringing you a traditional episode, we're going to run it back and let you take a listen and look inside of my interview with Keith Sconyers.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Purpose, where we interview people who have and continue to overcome adversity to live their purpose. In today's episode, I had the opportunity to talk with Jatia Jones, the founder of Jatia Jones Consulting and the executive director of Four Teens, a nonprofit focused on workforce development that provides teens with the mentorship, coaching, and training they need to turn their vocational dreams into reality. What I appreciate about our time together is Jatia's thoughtful insights about embracing who we really are and asking the right questions surrounding our passions and purpose so we can live a fulfilled life. Today, I'm honored to introduce you to Jatia Jones. Jatia, welcome to Purpose. How are you doing today?
I am great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to have you on. And I know it's just going to be a masterpiece because meeting with you and connecting with you and talking with you about the work that you're doing, your focus, and just your values, you know, more than anything else is something that inspires me. I've had a chance to take a look at some of the things that you're doing that you didn't tell me about. So I have some great questions for you here today, and I'm excited to, you know, really share your story with the world. So I'm really happy that you agreed to come onto the podcast.
No, I'm excited. I was binging your podcast the other day during work. So I was like, oh, this is going to be good because he asked some amazing questions. So I'm kind of excited.
Oh, man. Dang it. I hope I can live up to it. I've been, for our listeners, I ended up getting one of the bugs that's been going around. And so I have some congestion. So I don't sound like my usual self, but I feel like my usual self, which is great. Good. So, yeah. Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about your background, kind of your origin story, I guess you'd say, as it relates to that? Where are you from, kind of your background, and what was the journey leading up to where you are today, Jatia?
Definitely. So I am from what's considered a small town in Georgia. I'm from Athens, Georgia. Most people only know us because we're the home of the Georgia Bulldogs. Mm. And so I was born and raised there. And, you know, for many years, I thought I had like the perfect childhood. Like I didn't know that, you know, there was anything called survival mode, but technically I was born into survival mode to a single mother who did everything she possibly could to give my brother and I everything we possibly needed and wanted. But with that being said, because I saw her work so hard, all I knew was to get good grades, go to school, you know, the natural playbook of life. As I say, parents love out of fear. And so they want to set you up to be financially successful so that they know you're okay. Needless to say, I went to college and I was like, I'm going to be an engineer. That didn't last too long because the way my brain works, it didn't. And so I changed my major like 500 times. Until I landed on something called technical communication, which was a blend of engineering and just simplifying very technical things and putting it into layman's terms. And I was like, oh, I found my sweet spot. But honestly, I just went to school to find something that made me a lot of money. Mm. Fast forward, I found myself doing many, many jobs, trying to be fulfilled. So I'm a certified nail tech, a certified bartender, and I ended up in federal government, you know, getting the good government job. And one day I woke up in Cubeland and I was like stuck. I felt like my brain was turning into mush. And I had all of these skills. However, I also found myself in six figures of debt. And so I was like, well, what do we do? What is our next step? You're so good at a lot of different things. What do you want to do next? And so for some time, I found myself in a state of I don't know. And then I started to go through and create what I call now my common thread method to figure out what was the common thread between my passions, my purpose, my gifts, my skills, so that I can find that thing that would align the things that I loved and a profession that I loved. And so I found myself doing the natural networker, which we talked about the other day, helping introverts and students network. And that just gradually evolved into me doing clarity coaching and consulting, because those that network best were very clear in what they needed, their ask, and how to communicate, not just their role and their title, but the value and transformation that they bring to the world. And that's my story here today. And so now I get to help some amazing visionaries and change agents, as I call them, multi-passionates, truly confidently communicate who they are so they can create the life and business of their dreams.
Wow. Can you just pull up the QR code so I can just give you my money? Take my money, Jatia. Wow. I know you mentioned that you were, you know, in the cubicle, your butt, you know, your brain was turned into mush. And, you know, I was going to say, almost said butt right there. And I was like, that happens in the cubicle too, because we just sitting there, you know. I remember being a nonprofit, damn. Everything turns to mush when you're not active and you're just at a desk all the time, right? So.
Very factual.
Right? Yeah, it all gets mushy. What, like, other than you being unfulfilled, potentially maybe even disengaged at work, like, what were some of the other things that really brought to your attention that you are not living your life to maybe your highest potential?
So technically that was supposed to be my dream job. I was traveling all around the world, doing public health education to all of the military facilities globally, right? Yeah. And so traveling and public health, two of my loves, why wouldn't this be great? But honestly, I didn't feel that I was having the impact that I anticipated, right? So my heart's desire is just to help everybody do better and be better so that you can just be happy. In short, right? And so honestly, I didn't feel, you know, when you get behind the veil and you see the real true blue, I didn't see the impact that, you know, the brotherhood of military and things of that nature. And so for me, trying to improve things and processes and to be shot down by middle management and or the Army's motto is to hurry up and do nothing. So once I realized these things, it shifted me, because I'm just a natural high achiever, right? And so living in excellence is my thing. It's like, why are we not doing this to the best of our ability? imposter syndrome started to set in for me. So two things can be true at one time. Like, I know that I'm great at a lot. And at the same time, I'm like, I don't think I can do anything. Like, when did this happen?
Yeah.
And so feeling that transition and not being able to have the impact that I truly desired and thought I was going to have at this career. But then at the same time, my skill sets not being fully used. So I didn't feel as competitive in the marketplace. I became a slave to the paycheck, right? I have this lifestyle that I love. And so I find that also with so many of my clients, it's like, well, you just got to suck it up. This is what you do. You work and you live and then you retire and do what you want to do. And so those were just like a few of the compounding things that I just kept feeling like was weighing me down, and I wasn't me. And so I had to do something to find me.
Yeah. And what did you do, Jatia? Like, how did you, because I think we get to that point often where it's like, we know we're unhappy. We know we could be doing way more or maybe in a different way or, you know, or have a greater impact. But, you know, I think it's like when I was struggling, mm-hmm. I thought that the successful people had it figured out, right? Like they had
right.
jobs and they had all those things. And so I thought that they weren't afraid, but I think that it's easy to get into some of these positions where you have your dream job. It is great. You're traveling, you're working with the military. You don't have to worry about job security, all the things that you may have worried about prior to really climbing that ladder. Now mm-hmm. the fear is different. It's like, what if I'm wrong and I lose this thing? So like, can you walk us through like what your process was for figuring out what was next and how you develop the courage to take the jump and take the leap mm-hmm. into becoming an entrepreneur?
Yeah, definitely. Because honestly, there is much fear, because the perception was I did have it all together, right? I had the great job, the great life. And honestly, what I did and tell my clients to do now is you have to figure out how to ask yourself the right questions. Mm. And looking at who do you want to become? Not who you currently are, not who you were. Who do you want to become? And how do we evolve into that person? And so I came up with what I call now the ABCs to clarity. So one was accept that you can do better, accept that two things can be true at one time, accept that money does make the world go round, right? But also accept that you can be the catalyst to your own next. Because a lot of times we look for others, mentors and more education and all of those things. Mm-hmm. And then B is believe. Believe that if it doesn't exist, you can create it. You're not totally insane if you have this idea, and that it's not too late. And then C, connect the dots between your past, present, future, and connect with the people to help get you there. And so using this method, I had to do a lot of coming to Jesus moments, as I call it, with myself and truly accepting that I was part of my biggest problem, right? The shame behind not being all together, but living the facade of being all together and releasing that and saying, hey, this is my life. This is what I want to do. And if it fails, okay. And if it doesn't, we'll be okay. You've started from the bottom and you can go up again, right? But of course, being deathly afraid to do that. So trying to make sure that plan A through Z was there before we even jumped. But honestly, I created this marvelous plan in my head. Mm-hmm. However, none of that was the catalyst to me making the jump. In all transparency, during COVID, I was teleworking. And so I went back home to Georgia and ended up finding out that my father was ill. So priority shifted. The job basically tried to end my career behind my back, front facing. They were telling me one thing. And so I just got fed up and I literally was pushed to the wall, and I had been building this thing on the side. So I was like, you know what? Screw you. Yeah. I choose me, right? Yeah. Because life got really, really, really real. And he ended up passing. And so it took a minute to just step back and say, okay, well, now is the time. There is no better time. And that forced me out. I can't even say I was courageous enough to take the leap.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I think that for the people who haven't taken the leap or haven't jumped into entrepreneurship, I think that it's not necessarily a one-time decision. I think that every day that you're an entrepreneur, you take a leap. You take a leap every time you get out the bed, because what's around the corner, whether it be trying to make payroll, whether it be some tax situation, whether it be a client issue, there's always those opportunities to go back to what we consider to be safe, right? So you did do something that was courageous, because we know that on this side of the tracks, it's every day you continue to take the leap.
Yes, that is a great perspective. You are so correct on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So can you talk to us a little bit about, like, what were you building on the side and what is your vision for the work that you're doing?
So, you know, I mentioned that I was doing the helping introverts naturally network. And so I decided to invest in myself, and I took this program to help me scale and grow the business. However, shortly after enrolling in this program, the business coach herself was like, yeah, so you do clarity, and I want you to come on board. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, lady, but we'll give it a try. So needless to say, she was right. That is my gift and skill. And so I did coaching for her, which evolved into doing more coaching for other business coaches and their programs to increase their retention rate and success rate for their programs. And then I went out and branched out and did some consulting and speaking. And so my vision is to create a collective, because honestly, I see so many multi-passionates out here who have the vision, right? We can see the whole forest, maybe not all the trees, but we can see the forest. But we don't have the business sense that we really truly need to scale and grow to the capacity that we truly desire. And so I would love to create this collective that gives them the Ruta to the Tuta to help them really evolve this vision, because I truly believe they are the change agents and the creators of history of tomorrow, and that they just need that alley-oop and push to really be able to help start the ripple for them so that they can do their gift to help somebody else do their gift. You know, one of my favorite sayings is help me, help you, help us. And so that's my heart's desire, is to truly bring multi-passionates together, remove the stigma that we're all over the place, and hone in all of our skills and passions and our purpose to create a better tomorrow.
That's incredibly powerful. When did it occur to you that you were a multi-passionate?
When I was at birth, right? No. Someone once asked me, they said, are multi-passionates born or are they created? And at the time, I was like, we're born this way. But honestly, at this point, I call it the multi-passionate life cycle. We're created. And so I realized, sitting in Cube Land searching for an answer, and I ran across the term, and I was like, oh my God, that's me. Like, I have all these passions and I want all of them to be a source of income because I want to do what I love. And so I would say somewhere around 2015 is when I tokened myself that. But I truly feel I've always been one. But jumping from career to career, trying to find that thing that'll pay me to do what I love, I really truly formulated me to be a real multi-passionate.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that and kind of unpacking that. I've experienced that too, where I have a lot of things going on and different opportunities. Like, what's the most challenging hurdle you've had to overcome as being someone who does have multiple passions and things that you want to work on, that you want to not just be necessarily like a hobby, right? Like, you want it to be a revenue stream, which takes effort. So, like, what's been the hurdle and how have you overcome that as someone who has multiple passions?
Honestly, the biggest hurdle was doing the shoulds, how you should do business and focus on one thing and work on that till it makes $1 million and then go to the next, right? That's what we're taught in the industry. And the analogy that I always give is that if I'm making spaghetti, I'm not going to wait till my noodles are done to start my meat sauce. When you have these continuous downloads and ideas, to write them down and really take time to look at it from a holistic approach.
Yeah.
And then make a plan to attack. So that was like my biggest hurdle, because I was working on this business and then I'll try to work on this one on the side, but I was looking at them all in different silos. Yeah. And so once I said, okay, I know they all go together some type of way.
Yeah.
I created an ecosystem and I was able to then be more efficient with my time and my resources. Yeah. So I would say, okay, we have this project going on with the nonprofit. We have this project going on with consulting, and these are our strategic goals for the year. We need a grant writer for both. We need a graphic designer for both. And so I was able to attack my plan that way to really save time and energy and make multiple things flow and grow simultaneously instead of stressing out and stretching myself thin across the board.
Wow, that's remarkable. Was that something that you came up with, or how did you really, I guess, create a strategy like that, that would be holistic, right? That would address like your total scope of needs and how to execute on that. Cause I think that there's a lot of people who have these competing, what would seem to be in their mind, they have these competing strategic objectives, but they're not. Mm-hmm. And there's a way to attack it to really address both.
Mm-hmm. So I did come up with that. I literally had like the extra large sticky notes on every single wall in what I call the war room, right? And I was writing all the things down because I'm a to-do list person, right? I have to check it off and scratch it out for me to feel successful. And so as I was looking at this and I was like, okay, so this just flows together. I took myself through, you know, my own plan, because I call it plan to win. So I have a plan to win planner, and win stands for what I need, who I need, and why I need it. But this strategy came from helping introverts network, because if they had those things in mind and they knew more so their why, they could explain their why to others and everybody else could go get it and bring it back to them.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to expend all the energy and do all the people link, right? And so as I did that, I was like, okay, Jatia, well, what is your why for needing this in this side of the fence and this for this side of the fence? And I started to see the similarities between them, and I had the highlighters out, and I'm like, okay, well, these are the synergies among the things. And if I can say, okay, this is who I need, and I need this one person or thing for multiple things, maybe I can work out a package deal, because we're going to do consistent business. And if I find the person, one who gets me, understands the vision, even though they can't see it, I want to stick with you because there's so many who don't get it. And I've wasted so much money working with those individuals that I wanted to be able to say, hey, let's work together. These are the things that I need. These are the different projects across the board. And if you can help me meet these timelines, what does this look like, right? Because I'm all about efficiency and effectiveness. When it comes to resources and time, and you know, freelancers definitely want the consistent income. So it just was a win-win for all. But once I did that, I did start to see, okay, there is an ecosystem here. And I tested it out on multiple clients. And I was like, okay, so this thing is really a thing. And working top down instead of bottom up in these different silos really allowed for the capacity for many of us to be able to do life and not just business, but the things grow and flow across the board.
Wow, that's really powerful. And I think that taking that approach, right, like the win method, or win, it's called win today.
What I need, what I need, who I need, and why I need.
What about when I need?
That's a new one. Well, you know, for me, I need everything like yesterday.
I need a royalty, Jatia.
Listen, you might be able to get this. I'm like, my wheels are turning.
Right. That's really powerful. And the reason why I think it's so powerful is because I think when we hear the word why, it's become something that's just, we only think of it as like this emotional thing, like the emotional impetus for why we want to act. But what you're walking people through is not only that, like, yes, like that's the gas for the tank, right? But what you're talking about is who I need, right? Which is who's going to be in the seats in this car, right? Yeah. Why I need, like, where are we going, right? Like, there's all these things that you're able to break down into a filter to help people not only create a, you know, really create a strategy and a plan, but also really allows them to communicate to themselves, like you mentioned, like asking yourself the right questions so that mm-hmm. you can then, when someone asks you a question, you've already answered it 50,000 times and it just comes out
mm-hmm. versus like naturally.
Right. Yeah. Naturally. So tell me about the introvert, right? Like, when did you, like, was there a time in your life where you, you know, maybe saw yourself, you know, like, oh, I'm that, like, labeled yourself like, oh, that's what I am. Like, when did it mm-hmm. occur to you? When did it become a conscious thing that you were a, you know, a introvert?
Yeah. So I'm just naturally inquisitive and yeah. I'm very technical when it comes to terminology. And uh-huh. so I'm a big Googler, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm so happy it was created. Before that, it was definitely the encyclopedias for me. But as a kid, I was just extremely, extremely shy, right? And yeah. so it was it one of, I think, introverts' biggest superpowers is observation. And so as I'm sitting here and I'm trying to figure things out, right? Because it's like, at the same time, even though I was shy, there was something in me that was like, okay, nothing's going to stop us
yeah.
except for me, right? So there was many times that I stopped myself. I tell the story where I moved to the DMV area and I was like, okay, I'm going to play flag football. This is how I'm going to meet new people. And for the very first year, I drove, and when I finally found the place, I was late, and I was like, I'm not walking across the field in front of all these people because I'm deathly afraid, and I drove all the way back to Virginia, right? And so for the first year, I was on the roster, but nobody knew who I was. So the second year, I was like, I'm playing this year, and I literally had to just be like, okay, we're walking across the field. We can do this. And so honestly, that is when I noticed that I started to evolve from introvert to ambivert, but it was yeah. like me being sick and tired of me being in my way, not being able to get what I wanted because of me. Yeah. But yeah, so for years, I was very, very shy until I got comfortable, and then I would talk your head off. And then around 20, I guess it had to be like 2012-ish, yeah. I became more of an ambivert and a teeter-totter, depending yeah. on the day.
Sure. Yeah. Fridays are usually my introvert day, but today I booked a couple podcasts. I'm trying to convince my wife to go sing karaoke tonight.
Love it.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I think I might, you know, switch on the ambivert, extrovert for tonight so I can have a good time. And then tomorrow, like, I could be a recluse.
Yes. And be energized.
Yeah. 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 What's the one thing that you have learned on this other side of stepping out of your comfort zone about you?
So much. Stepping out on the other side, I guess the one thing I've learned about me is to choose me. So many of us are givers, especially when you're passionate.
Yeah.
And so for the longest, I thought choosing me was selfish. And so now I say self first is not selfish. If I choose me first, then I can be my best self to show up for others how my heart truly desires. I'm not tired. I'm not, you know, giving you my breadcrumbs. I can give you a whole 5-course meal because I've taken the time to truly do what I need to do. Mm-hmm. So I have the mental, emotional, and physical capacity to show up for others and give to others the way I truly desire. That's like one of the biggest things, but it took, I say I took myself on my personal becoming, right? Yeah. Where I had to ask myself more questions like, what do you really like to do for fun? I feel like that's a question most adults don't know how to answer, yeah. or it's very generic, right? Do we have fun? Do we daydream anymore? And so taking myself on that personal becoming was a journey, but the biggest like synopsis is choose me every day, all day. Yeah. What do I desire and what do I deserve? And let's make choices based off of that.
Yeah, that could be really challenging to do, especially if someone's coming from a place of like making other people happy, people pleasing, or I think, you know, as an introvert, I think we do value relationships. And so sometimes we get pulled into a bunch of different directions. And, you know, I don't know, like it can definitely cause burnout, right? It can cause you to be pulled in a lot of different directions. And so I'm excited to hear what's available for the people who do decide to step outside of their comfort zone and really begin to be more attuned to what they need, who they need, you know, what they need, all those things. And so can we talk a little bit about Four Teens? Because I was doing my research and this came out, you know, I think that this is amazing. I didn't find out anything about you being like a champion, like, you know, flag football player. So I don't know if there's trophies or something like that out there.
By no means necessary. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I was, you know, support, but no trophies over here.
Yeah. Should we talk a little bit about your nonprofit?
Definitely. So 14s was birthed honestly from a vision that I had, a dream that, because Hershey was the kid that really didn't know what she didn't know. She just knew that this was the playbook and we were going to be great. But I followed that path of the money, right? But nobody really said, let's hone in and tap into your skill set and your gift and, you know, really take that and develop it into something. Yeah. And so my goal was to create experiences and education for youth, specifically they call them disconnected youth, to really figure out or become clear on what is their purpose and how can they turn that into their vocational aspirations, right? Mm-hmm. And it holistically fits into my ecosystem. So they're the ones I'm trying to help prevent become the adults that I help today, right?
Yeah.
So let's hone in and tap into your gifts and your passions and let's develop them and think outside of the box and create a career path for you, especially those that say they don't want to go to college. And today things are different. You don't necessarily have to attend secondary education to really be successful and tap into more of the trades that are dying out. And then do this bi-directional mentorship when it comes to small businesses and the mini entrepreneurs to create like this workforce development pipeline of grooming the next so that they don't have to waste time, money, and energy like I did changing their major 500 times and really have a life and career that they love.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on the website and I'm like, man, I want to sign up for this like for myself. can I get to the Dean Summit? Can I just self-identify?
And just yes, come on and join us. We'll be starting it back up this year, 2024, fall of 2024.
Yeah. And do you do like local events and things like that in the DMV area? Or what does that typically look like in practice?
Yeah. So we tend to partner with a lot of other organizations and do different things, but most of our events other than the Teen Summit are virtual so that we can grasp, you know, a wide net of individuals who may not be in a metropolitan area and have resources to things such as that. So we'll normally do workshops throughout the year, quarterly, and then we'll do the mentorship program in connection with our partners, and then we'll do the Teen Summit annually.
Yeah. That's great. Tell me a little bit about 2024. What are you working on? Where are we going?
So 2024... No.
All the way.
And so 2024, I'm excited about it. It definitely is streamlining things for this multi-passionate, which I never, ever, ever thought I would say, right? Mm-hmm. But we're focusing and honing in on more so community. So that would be the collective and really having, most people call them accelerators these days, where you apply for this development, personal and professional development. But I'm calling it a collective because I'm a big proponent for community. Yeah. And I feel that we can't do it alone. We shouldn't do it alone. And it goes back to that workforce pipeline that I so love too. And so building that out and really kickstarting this thing for multi-passionates to become the person that they've always felt deep down inside, but kind of hid away for the acceptance of society and become the disruptor that they need to be the CEO that they need to be to really change the world. So that's one of the biggest things that I'm working on for 2024 that I'm really, really excited about.
Yeah, it's going to be so good. I can only, I'm just in my seat here, just like, man, I can't wait. I can't wait for, you know, for the opportunity to just continue the conversation on that and to see it come to fruition, because mm-hmm. it's a huge need. There's so much out there about, you know, oh, you don't, and I'll just share kind of my own story, right? Like I, mm-hmm. you know, built this payment consulting company, and then like, I like it. I don't want to quit, but like, there's just other stuff, right? There's these other things I really want to do, speaking and, you know, creating curriculum and stuff like that. And sometimes I talk to people and they'll be like, you already have way too much going on. Like right. you don't need to do nothing else, you know? And I'm just like, man, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm supposed to, you know?
And you are. Yes.
Yeah. And it's working, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so like, and yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish.
Well, I'm just excited for people to have a community, you know, like there's not a community out there. And I think that sometimes, you know, by some people not finding a community, they end up quitting, they end up giving up and just saying, you know what, it's not working. Everyone else tells me to stay, you know, working for the state. I'm going to quit, you know. But if people had a community where they could see examples, you know, of people that think like them, right, that are doing things in the way that they want to do things, that they appreciate, that they respect, and they're like, hey, this really could be a thing for me. And then being able to help them make it efficient the way that you have done it with the win method, right? So I think that I'm just excited about that aspect.
I'm excited too. Yeah, you know, creating the thing, it is. And it will really take a toll on you when you think that you're the strange bird, right? Yeah. I tell people all the time, like, we're out here. We just may not be in your area code or zip code, right?
Right, yeah.
And then for so many of my clients, a lot of it comes with ease, right? So a lot of people look at you and they're probably like, how in the world did you create this pay system consulting business, right? Like, right. Who would have thought of that? Da, da, da. But for you, it's like, it just makes sense. Yeah. But we tend to hover over the nest and not like strive too far because it's afraid you don't want to be alone on that journey up. But I'm like, no, just soar. And once you get up there, there's other people that are just like, you can do it. Because I know for me personally, I was the one that my simple was someone else's significant. And they were like, oh my God, you're so awesome. You're doing so great. And I'm like, y'all, this is like basic. And so I was afraid to like really be like, this is what we really can do, you know?
Yeah.
And so when I jumped out there, you know, I would see people's eyes glaze over and look at me like I have two heads. And it's really funny to me now, but then, you know, it just caused me to want to shrink and fit in and not stand out. And so being the black sheep, and I'm no longer trying to blend in with the rest of the flock. And it's like, come on, all the others that want to follow. So yeah, community has been one of the pieces that has gotten me this far.
Yeah. Me too. Like I tell people this all the time, like there's just no way. There's no way in a million years that I would be doing the stuff I'm doing if it wasn't for great people that I can connect with like yourself. Because for a while, you don't really have belief. You know, you have hope. Mm-hmm. You borrow other people's belief. You know, you borrow Jatia's belief. You borrow Sherry's belief, right? Mm-hmm. You borrow Fee's belief because they've seen things and they see things in you that you can't see in yourself. And so having that community is really where it's at, to, you know, because it really gives you that opportunity to grow and borrow their belief while you can just hope for now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you really need that on a daily basis sometimes.
Seriously. Yep. So how did you, I know there had to be a day in the life for Jatia where she wanted to potentially like hang it up and go back.
3 times every day.
Yeah.
There was a point where, you know, they say you start to parent the parents.
Yeah.
And the balance or lack thereof of the emotional toil of family stuff and being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I was tired. Yeah. And, you know, and I guess the entrepreneur stuff was being in creating thought leadership can be difficult sometimes, right? So like, I'm still boggled to this day when I'm like, yeah, multi-passionate. And people are like, well, what is that? And I'm like, I'm multi-passionate. Yeah. And so because I'm speaking these terms, the traction wasn't there business-wise, right? Okay. And I'm like, I'm doing all these things. I want it to work. I know I can help you. These people see the value, because the thing with clarity is that most people think they're clear.
Yep.
Right. It's like, we're getting in the car, we're going to the grocery store. That's what we're doing. And I'm like, but what grocery store and what are you buying? Because Trader Joe's is very different from a Whole Foods and a Kroger, Safeway, whatever is in your area.
Whole
right?
paycheck.
Whole paycheck. They are very different, right? Right. Yeah. Very different. You're going to find all your holistic stuff there, but it's going to be a whole paycheck, right? Whole paycheck,
yeah.
And so I'm like, you have to truly decide, like, which one and why, and which one is closest. Are you going to the one all the way on the other side of town or the one around the corner? And so because people thought they were clear because they knew they needed to go to the grocery store, they didn't see the value in seeking clarity first.
Yeah.
And so, especially with multi-passionates, they were going to all the specialists, the brand strategist, or the this and the that, and they couldn't clearly articulate, even though they thought they were clear, and they were spiraling, wasting money, all the things. And in the beginning, everybody would come backwards to clarity and be like, well, I've spent all this money with, and I'm like, that is not my problem. Right. And so the traction was not there. So that was what was going on in business. And then I had real life lifing. Right.
Yeah.
So I was just completely exhausted. And I just was like, I'm giving up. I'm going back to a 9-to-5 where I don't have to think. I can just show up and get a consistent paycheck every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But, you know, everything in me is like, that's not it, you know? And after taking the shackles off and recovering from the PTSD of corporate and doing the thing and the fulfillment that I truly have when I help my clients and see them go on to do such great things and help others, it's a hard, hard thing to be like, okay, we're going to give up and let this go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's become like a responsibility now for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally committed to this assignment.
Yeah. Like, I wonder if Harriet knew she was going to go back.
Ooh, that's a good one.
You know,
I wonder what she was going to go back to.
Yeah. Like, did she know when she left, like, I'm going to figure out how to get free and then I'm coming back to get people. And not only the first time going back, the second time, the third, fourth, right? Like, I wonder what her thought process was.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
and what was the motivator to push her when she got tired?
Yeah. Right.
Ooh, I would have to use that example, because the thing that comes to mind is so many of my clients, when you go through this purpose work, and you are clear on your identity, your purpose, and the assignment that it's attached to, you immediately go through a shedding season. And that is the hardest for most of my female clients specifically, because the people you thought were going to go to the finish line with you are not. Some of them are your spouses, your parents, your sisters, your best friends, right?
Yeah.
And those seats are vacated. I know it's because it's to put people in those seats futuristically to help you move along in your purpose, but it's still emotionally hard. And so when you mention her, it makes me think about when she went back and her husband was like, I'm not coming.
Oh.
And what a toll that would do.
Right. Oh, gosh, I didn't know that.
And if she would have stopped to stay back with him, how many lives would not have been impacted?
Yeah.
And how different might her life have been? Would we be sitting here having this conversation today if she would have stopped?
Right.
Because that seat, a big piece of her heart, said, I'm not going to the finish line with you.
Yeah. Man. That's heavy. Like, I'm going to sit with that for a while. Yeah, I'm going to sit with that for a while, because I think that I've definitely had it where, we hold on to things, right? It doesn't have to be a relationship. It could be all kinds of other stuff. It could be what that person did to me when I was four, what that person, what happened at 10, when it happened at 10, you know, or this or that job or this or that promotion that I got skipped over. And we hold on to these things. And because we won't let go of them, our hand isn't open for the next thing that is supposed to be placed in our hand. So
very much so.
Yeah. Which is purpose, right? And so what have you learned about yourself in the process of doing the purpose work? And how can, in your observation, how can other people begin to step into the purpose work and also find the courage to go to the finish line with it? Because I think sometimes we figure out our why, we don't really tell nobody about it. We don't change nothing about our behaviors. We don't change anything about our network. We don't change anything about what we eat, what we watch, what we listen to. Yet we got the t-shirt. Like we know why, but we don't do why.
Oof. Listen, that's a loaded question, but it's so good because you made me think when I was in Cube Land, I OD'd on audiobooks and podcasts, trying to find the solution, because you're right. So many people identify the problem and they get stuck there and they're like, oh, well, this is why I am the way I am, or this is why I did it. And they get stuck at identifying the problem and won't move on to finding the solution. I had like 500 thoughts ramble through my head all at one time, but I do know to answer that question, there's so much. So I don't know how many people out there are believers, but I'm a believer, right? And so I had this dream and I met the pearly gates and everybody I've helped is behind. And they're like, girl, come on in. And God is like, no. And they're like, and I'm like, but why? And they're like, well, she helped us do this. She's a good person. And everybody's vouching for me. And he turns around and he looks at me and he says, but you did not do what I told you to do. And I woke up and I was like, okay, let's go. And change is difficult. It is scary. But that is the one thing that God gave us, is choice, and that change is always going to happen. And one of the common things that's going around in the coaching world is get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I'm like, don't do that, because that creates complacency and all the things.
Thrill seeking.
But what and I'm like, but what you should do is get excited.
Yeah.
You get uncomfortable, because that means that next is right there. You may have to take baby steps, but keep pushing. Because the next is right there. Right. And so I know that's one of the things that I continuously tell myself, to push through that uncomfortable stage, because you get, you're in this hallway and you can go backwards because you can navigate that with your eyes closed. It's like walking through your house in the dark because you know the landscape. But we're so deathly afraid to go forward because we don't know that landscape. We don't know what we're going to step into, or if it's a pit of, you know, nails or spiders or whatever. But the honest to God truth is that you had to navigate that hallway at one point in time to be able to navigate it now with your eyes closed. And so you can do the same thing again moving forward, but it's so scary because we know that path, but we don't know the path ahead. And so I lost my other thought, but that was my main thought, is that it's so scary, but don't get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Get excited with being uncomfortable and use that to fuel you to keep going forward. But I know there was another part of your question, but I don't remember what it was.
Really finding the courage to continue, you know, because I think in everything that you're communicating so perfectly is like knowing that it is going to be uncomfortable. But I think sometimes we're so wired to think something's wrong when things go, like when we feel like when we're in the middle of adversity, right? when it does get hard, we think that it's not supposed to be, maybe. And so we try to run back to comfort when, you know.
Yeah. You know, honestly, the courage just comes from believing in you, believing in impossible, right? Because I always say impossible says I'm possible. But I always just think about, because I am in this age bracket, cell phones didn't exist at one point in time. And I remember that day, but they do now. And to think about how people looked at the person that said, we're going to take your landline and let you carry it with you. And all of the evolutions that it went through, my dad had the big black bag that you had in the car. And then it went to the itty bitty cell phones. Now we have the large cell phones, right? Or the sidekicks that you flipped up. So just to know that that person did it, somebody looked at them and said they're insane. And now it's a staple in everybody's life. Televisions, indoor plumbing. I also think about the guy that created the pet rock. Like, what? He made $1 million from the pet rock. Like, if these people can do it, why can't I? And so just remember to say that when you're moving forward. But the courage comes in the belief, and honestly, clarity comes in the doing. Because as a recovering perfectionist, I wanted it to be perfect before I put it out there. And to perfect is an action verb. That means you must do something and then tweak it and do it again for it to be perfect. And letting go of the fear of failure and just get excited that that means you're going to do it better the next time. But the fear is always going to be there. It's just how you push through it. But believing in you and that you can and that you should is the one thing that pushes through with courage. That's it.
Do you have any routines that you... I was watching some of your other content. I think you're talking about tracking and some other things. Like, what are some of the... Do you have any routines around kind of your, you know, your daily, how do you do what you do so that you stay on track? Because I think that as a multi-passionate, like, I could do a bunch of things and be exhausted and accomplish absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing. It's an actual statement.
It's like, what are we doing? I don't know, but I'm exhausted. And
I did a lot today, but what did you do? I don't know. Yes, I have those days. Honestly, so my routine starts out, if I'm actually, because honestly, I know when I fall off my routine, and it's because I'm feeling overwhelmed and confused, right? And having the mental fog, because I don't do what I'm supposed to do sometimes. That's too much, like, right, you know? But to answer the question, I start off with brain dumping, or journaling is what most people call it, but I call it brain dumping and devotional. So actually, my devotional's right here, Mashawn's Evans. This is great for business owners. 100 Days of Believing Bigger. I've marked this thing up 500 times, but I'll just flip through and read a devotion. And then I brain dump and I get it all out, because I honestly tell people my mind is like, I'm a visual person. And so I have this tornado going on in my head of all the things. And because I'm high achieving, I feel like I'm a superhero and I can just keep it in my head and we're still going to execute, right? But if I can get rid of the tornado and then I see the cow and I see the car and I see the roof on the house, now I know I can pick the roof up and put it over here and I can organize things. So I have to get it all out on paper, even if it makes absolutely no sense to no one else. And then I can organize it. So my journaling looks like all of my feelings, my to-do list, the grocery shopping list, goals, dreams, aspirations, all the things. And then once I'm done, my anxiety is lowered because it's out of my head. I'm not as stressed. And then I organize it and I create the to-do list. And writing it out, because I used to try to put it on my phone. I'm a calendar, physical and digital person, because I need the rings and dings. But if I write it out, there's something cathartic about that, I guess. And then I got to check it off and cross it out. And plus, I don't have to think when it comes to later. I feel like I'm executing, because I'm like, okay, what's next? What's next? And I become a machine throughout the day. And I love music. Music just does something to my whole entire soul and my mood. So I have a playlist that I tell people is hood and holy. It goes from trap to gospel. You never know what you're going to get next. And I put it on shuffle.
Franklin and Lil Jon on the same playlist.
Listen,
hey,
right,
is
back
this
to
for
back.
Sale?
I will definitely share it with you. I promise.
She's from the South, y'all.
That I am. I'll have some Thai trivet in there and all the things, and then we'll go to Too Short. I'm just saying that it's my playlist. But it gets me through. Yeah.
I love it.
It's some karaoke going on at the desk throughout the day, and then we get back to it.
Okay. There we go. Man, wow, that's so awesome. That is so funny too. I'm gonna have to try to get my hands on this playlist.
But yeah, you gotta find the thing that you know kickstarts you. I also do. I have to have daily reminders, like visual ones. So like, have a bracelet that says "Believe." I wear it almost every day. Okay. I have mugs, all the things to keep your eye on the prize because I am visual. I have a vision board that's in a picture frame. Uh-huh. That reminds me. So I have like all of the little, I'm intentional about being intentional.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, those are my three things, a devotional, brain dumping, and music, and days on and popping.
Yeah. Wow. This has been so amazing. This could go for another 2 or 3 hours easily. Cause I have like 350 more questions. So we'd be here until about midnight. So in as we close out, what's the one thing that you would tell to the person that knows that they can do more, knows that they could be more, wants to serve at a higher level, but is afraid? Do you have any action items for them as we close out?
Number one, somebody needs you. The world is waiting on you. You are cherry picked. For your purpose and your assignment.
Yeah.
And all of your heart's desires are on the other side of fear.
Yeah. Whew. Man. So good.
And I know of somebody, many of the coaches that I invested in, if they did not say, I'm going to do this thing, despite, I wouldn't be here. Like your example of Harriet Tubman, we wouldn't be. Like when I think about those things, I'm so grateful for those people, the Sherry's, the Fees, you know?
Yeah.
And so if you are afraid, just think about being and serving from a place of what you wish you had or who you had.
Yeah.
And just show up as that.
Yeah.
And clarity's in the doing. Just start. Put one foot in front of the other and it will become a snowball effect. Because honestly, that's, I guess that would be the action item for you is to just start. Because for me, when I'm afraid of doing something, if I take the baby steps and I have a small win, I just need one win. And then it becomes a snowball and it builds into this massive thing. And I'm like, here she comes, right? Yep. But just start one foot in front of the other. I'm here to help. But just start and remember that somebody needs you. Oh, I guess action item number two would be don't focus on the money.
Yeah.
Multi-passionates need to focus on a mission. We need to approach life as if we are a nonprofit and figure out what is our mission as far as how we're going to change the world.
Yeah.
Once you focus on your what, the how will come.
Yeah.
But you have to focus on the what first.
Yeah.
And then take the baby step.
Listen to that over and over and over and over again. That's incredible advice. That's incredible advice. What's the best way for people to connect with you if they want to learn more about what you're doing?
I'm allthingsjatiajones.com. My playground is Instagram and LinkedIn, as I call it. So I do respond in the DMs and messages, but you can find all things podcasts, social media, events, programs, courses, speaking, all of that at jatiajones.com.
I love it. I'm going to add all your contact information to the show notes, and I'm going to be subscribing, just tracking on your websites and your podcasts and all your content because you're a phenomenal human being. I'm really honored to be in community with you and I look forward to making an impact together. So
definitely, ditto. Let me know how I can be of service because I love what you're doing. I love this podcast specifically. Like I said, I was binging and I was like, oh, my people.
So. Yeah, we out here. Multifaceted.
I appreciate. Right? Yes, exactly. I appreciate what you are doing for the collective already and what we'll do together in the future. Yeah.
You bet. Have a good rest of your day. Okay.
You too. Thanks.
Take care.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of the Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. I hope you found the incredible stories and insights shared to be helpful. Now, before you go, I want to take a moment to express my genuine gratitude to each and every one of you. Your commitment to aligning your passions, purpose, and profession is what makes this podcast community so special. If you resonated with any of today's episode, I encourage you to hit the subscribe button. By subscribing, you're not just joining a podcast, you're becoming a part of a movement. A movement that celebrates the brilliance of being multi-passionate. To amplify this movement, I need your help. Share this podcast with your friends, colleagues, and fellow multi-passionates. Let's create a ripple effect of empowerment and inspiration. Lastly, I'm eager to hear your thoughts. What stood out the most in today's episode? Drop a comment or share your takeaways on social media by using the hashtag Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. Your insights might just spark a connection or the clarity someone else needs. Remember, the power of multi-passionates lies in our collective journey. And by sharing our stories, not only do we inspire each other, but also break down barriers and redefine success on our own terms. Your support means the world, and together we're building a space where multi-passion meets purpose and dreams evolve into reality. Stay confident, stay courageous, and let's continue this transformative journey together. Until next time, keep thriving and becoming the world-changing, multi-passionate CEO you were destined to be. If you're not a part of the community and desire to join us, click the link in the show notes or visit jatiajones.com/community.